Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's time to think about summer.
Oh, we're ready. Do you know what I like to do in summer, Laura?
What do you like to do?
I like to read books that I haven't gotten to read through the school year.
That's so odd because I like to do that too. As you can tell, Kim and I need to go to acting school because we were doing, what is it called? A segue? Is that what you call it?
Yes, it was a segue.
Kim provided us with one. So today is all about books. Actually, today and the next episode, Kim and I are splitting up, not literally, but splitting up the weeks. And we are going to be sharing book recommendations for you or with you. And we're going to talk adult books and kid books.
I'm so excited.
With YA books and all kinds of stuff. So yeah. I think no matter what, when you leave here today, you will be left with a book idea.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure. Are you ready? Let's go, listeners. And let's go, Kim.
All right. What are we going to start with, Laura?
Well, I thought we'd start off right now with some book podcasts that I listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And this is where I get a bunch of ideas from. So I have found podcasts that share a diverse, you know, like, what do you call it? An array of books. Okay. And I've found some people that have similar reading tastes to me. So when I hear this person recommend a book, I think I'll probably like it.
Yeah.
So my favorite podcast, and this person is on Instagram too. She's a great Instagram follow. It's called From the Front Porch is the podcast name. And Annie B. Jones is the owner, and she owns this bookstore in Thomasville, Georgia. And I actually think we would enjoy going to Thomasville, Georgia, Kim, listening to her. It's apparently a very beautiful small town, and they have all kinds of festivals and reader retreats and all kinds of things.
Oh, we would love that.
We would love that. So they have a weekly podcast, and once a month, they do a new release podcast. And on that episode, Annie B. Jones and Olivia, which is another worker for the bookshelf is the name of the bookstore, they both do it. And Olivia is their children's bookseller. And so she always gives great ideas for middle school readers, early readers, YA. And then she also does her adult recommendations.
And okay.
Annie.
We'll be listening.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great one. And then each month, Annie Jones does a reading. I think it's like an April rundown. So she'll talk about all the books that she read that month. And then the rest of the weeks, they just do different conversations. But it's a really good podcast. And I get so many ideas for reading and even gift ideas. Like I'll hear them describe a book and I'm like, oh, that would be great for my brother-in-law or for my grandmother or something like that.
How many books do you read in a month?
Oh, I read like I do everything else in life. I'll go through seasons where I'm hardcore and then where I don't read a drop. So yes. I'm a big audiobook listener because I can do that while I'm cleaning house or doing laundry or so whatever.
Driving.
Yeah. While I'm on here, I really want you guys to reach out to your local library because they have a free app, especially if you're in Arkansas, you can get the Libby app. But some libraries in other states have OverDrive. There is some audiobook program where you can check out books for free. You don't need Audible, even though Audible is great. But
it is great.
Another book podcast I listen to is Sarah's Bookshelf Live. And she actually just put out her summer reading list. And she usually does a great job. She'll put a diverse selection of books on her summer reading guide. And you can actually access that just on her website. Mm-hmm. But she does great podcast episodes with other readers who like that reading is their job. And you can find a book that you like by listening to her.
I don't really want to get that job. I could do that as a side gig.
We'll just like, I don't read have and talk gigs, about but... it. So if there's any book people that are listening to this podcast. Kim and I are applying for your job that's not posted. We are ready and willing.
That's right. We are down for it.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. I thought I would start off by talking about books that have really stuck with me over the years. I feel like I've read them in the past and I still think about them today. And the first one I want, like, I can tell you where I was reading these books or where I was listening to them or, you know, certain things like that. They were that profound. The first one I'd like to share is The Last Summer on State Street. Kim, have you read this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Every one of these people, just add it to your list. You need to read these.
Okay.
Just as Americans and just as humans, these are great books. So The Last Summer on State Street is a historic or contemporary historical fiction. It is focused on a group of little girls that are best friends. So Stacia, Fifi, I think Precious is the other girl, but they are living in a rough area of Chicago. And I mean, gang violence, drugs, et cetera. Mm. And it is the story of how these girls being friends and trying to overcome all the obstacles that they
with.
So, and then it will put you on a great search, you know, like you'll be going down some rabbit holes, but it's really based on the Robert Taylor homes in Chicago that they tore down. If you Google these people, you can see, I mean, it's a massive amount of public housing, huge sky rises. Is that the right word? Sky rises? Whatever. Yeah. High rises. High there rise. I was like, I'm so close to the word.
Skyscrapers and high rises.
Chicago tore down these high rises one by one. And okay. So this story, the place, the high rise that these girls live in is the last one that is torn down.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's their last summer there.
Okay. So,
anyway, right. I cannot recommend it enough. I mean, it does have a lot of serious tones to it, but, you know, I am just all about us seeing multiple perspectives and getting outside of our bubble because that's what we should do as humans, in my opinion. And this does a great job of it. So you'll see a trend in that in my beliefs as we go through these books. Okay. I gotta get
now,
back.
What age level? Is this an adult?
This is, these right here, the books that have stuck with me are all adult books.
Okay.
Really good question. Yeah. Even though I think it would be epic to read with an older teenager, I think you'd have to read it and see what age you believe would be good for.
Would be appropriate. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the next one you may have heard about, but if you haven't read it, I cannot encourage you enough to read it. It's called American Dirt. Have you read this one, Kim?
You know what? That's on my list.
Okay.
That was on my list.
This is a story that is, I mean, you will think about it. You will think about it probably forever. I mean, I think I read it 5 years ago and I think about it often. So it's a story of a bookstore owner and her young son. She lives in, I think it's Acapulco in Mexico. And the drug cartels kind of take over her town. And it's her escape story. It's a mother-son book, which you don't always see just a ton of mother-son books.
No.
You will be on the edge of your seat from page one till page end.
Okay.
So if you are like a thriller reader, I think you would like this because there is, I mean, it's a historical, contemporary historical fiction, but it has enough tension and suspense in it, but is real.
Those are my favorite, I think. Mysteries and thrillers.
Well, it is fantastic. On Amazon, it says it will leave listeners utterly changed. And I cannot agree with that more.
Really?
I read this, Emma French, Jessica Luttrell, like a lot of my college, I was reading it when I was teaching at the university. And so I got people to read with me and they felt the same way. So,
they did. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. I didn't write in my writers.
Oh, it's okay.
Or my authors. Okay, the next one is A Woman Is No Man. This is a book I read in one day, and it is huge. I was on vacation, so that's why I didn't do it in one day. But I walked up the stairs and handed it to my mother-in-law and said, read this, and she pretty much read it in a day, too.
Okay.
It is a good one. So this is a story of a girl. She is, I can't remember where, Palestine, I think. She is raised by her grandparent, her grandmother, and it's really a coming of age, her trying to find her place.
Mm-hmm.
And as she does this, she's going back and finding truths about her family because her parents were killed. So there's some gaps in information because she's being raised by her grandmother. It's just a great one. So A Woman Is No Man.
Is she Palestinian, the girl?
I think so. This has been a while since I've read it. Like, these have all stuck with me, years.
Yes.
So I cannot remember. Anyway, I highly recommend it. So the next one is, I think it was a Read with Jenna. And Read with Jenna is a great.
Yes.
Her book club and Reese Witherspoon's book clubs are great books.
Yes.
So The Girl with the Louding Voice, it is another coming of age story. It's a story of a girl in a Nigerian village, and she longs to be educated. She wants that knowledge, and she wants to be able to find her louding voice, her voice that she can speak.
I've read that one. Yeah.
It is so good. And I recommend you listening to it. It's a great listen. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, like a lot of some of the words are kind of difficult. And so you'll get the right pronunciation. let's see, I've got two. Yeah. One more that I really want that I'll tell a lot about. And then the rest, I'm just going to fly through. So A Place for Us is another book that has stuck with me. It's the story of an Indian family. They're coming together for a wedding, and the parents are reckoning. This is what the book description says. They are reckoning with the choices they have made. So you follow their children and you find out about each part of them. So I love the books where you get multiple perspectives. And yeah. And so this one does it.
Is it set in India? Is the setting in India?
I think so. I was sitting in the chair with a baby in my lap reading this one. So it's been a while.
Okay.
But it was a fantastic one. And I got this recommendation from the Anna B. Jones. It was a book that was profound for her, and I agree with her. Okay, I'll dive through these books that stuck with me really quick. A memoir, if you're a fan of memoir, Viola Davis's memoir called Finding Me was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I recommend listening to that one. So, if you're a fantasy reader, Station 11, you might have read it, but it was a great one. Not dystopian, but a little sci-fi, a little fantasy. And then if you're a Game of Thrones watcher, reading the books 3 and 4, I read those this winter, and they were really good. Okay, so these are books coming up that are on my radar that I want to read this summer when I have a little bit of extra time. The Sicilian Inheritance. Have you heard that one?
Mm-mm.
So it's actually based on a true story. The author's great grandmother, she's kind of retracing her story.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's going to have some tension in it, but I'm excited about that one. So the next one is a summer read, and my friend Charlotte, she recommended it to me. It's Just for the Summer. It has a cute summer cover. I don't know much about it, but I'm going to read it.
Just for fun.
And then a thriller that has been on several reading lists that I want to read is Night Watching. And those are all adult books, and I'm sure there is content in them. As for all the ones that I've recommended so far, there's just going to be some language and some content that's pretty serious. So those are ones that are on my summer radar, and I'm excited. I have my Libby holds maxed out, and I wish I could put more holds on them.
I just do. Mine's maxed out, too.
Oh, man. Okay, I wanted to share some nonfiction. So the next recommendations are books that I've just enjoyed lately or in the past few years that are nonfiction, and then I'll go into fiction. And I'm not going to talk a bunch about these, but I just recommend them. So one that I'm reading right now is called, it's a nonfiction book called Fight Right, and it's by Dr. Gottman and his wife, Julie, I think. I listened to them on a podcast, and they said there's no Fight 101 class in school. Like, you don't learn how to argue and disagree in a kind way. And so this book is written mainly for couples, but the principles apply to whatever situation. You know, if we had a political disagreement or a disagreement about the podcast or what, you know, whatever, the principles would apply to it. So
I think that's it. I think you had mentioned that one back earlier, and I think that's one that I need to.
I think we could actually do a podcast episode about it.
Really? And I, you know, yeah. I need to get it to all my children just because one of them is getting married and the others are married.
It's going to be my, I mean, sorry, people who are going to get married and get a gift from me, but that's going to be my gift. Because what, but you know, there's not many better gifts you can give for that would help you. I mean, we are going to argue. We are going to have times.
Disagreements. So, yeah.
Disagreements.
Yeah.
But it's how you handle it will be a make or break situation. I'm very much enjoying it. So I think that's good. Another nonfiction book that I have loved, loved, loved and bought for Kim and bought for other people is called Tell Me More by Kelly Corrigan.
It's so good.
It does have some language in it, but it is so good.
I'm pretty sure she and I, she would be in our group, Laura.
For sure. So this book covers 12 things she's learning to say. And she is a fantastic storyteller, and the stories, man, they stick with you. So I cannot recommend that this book enough.
I 110% agree. Yeah, that is
called
one of the best books I've read lately
by Kelly Corrigan, and it is a great listen because I love her voice. And of course, Kim and I can't have a conversation without talking about Brené Brown.
No.
So I recommend Atlas of the Heart and Dare to Lead. So Dare to Lead is about leadership. And Atlas of the Heart is about emotions and you really understanding them, and which will equip you to help your son handle not being able to get Snapchat. So, you know, it is really good.
It is a very good book because we've talked about this on our podcast before, but we often don't have the language to express what our feelings truly are.
Mm.
And we mislabel them, and yeah, she really helps with that.
And completely misunderstand them.
Uh-huh.
You know, we think we're angry, but it's really way deeper than that.
It is way deeper.
So,
if you are a parent, a wife, a teacher, a person that breathes, you need to have this book and study it.
I definitely agree. And like, I have the hard copy and I'll go to it just at random times and when I'm feeling something and read it. It's very good. And I highlight and underline and note it up.
Yes. Yes.
The last nonfiction book that I just remember loving is a memoir, and it's called Educated. Tons of people have read it.
I've read it.
Sorry for recommending it, but it's just, if you haven't read it, it's a fantastic memoir. It's a girl who grows up off the grid because her father, and it's really, I think, her dad who wants them off the grid. And it's her story of overcoming and growing to be, I mean, she is educated, but to be even more educated. So.
Right.
Okay. I thought I'd share some fun summer fiction, because who doesn't want a fun read? A few years ago, I read a book called City of Girls. It's about Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, okay.
It's a story. I mean, it's a big one, but it is great. It is a story of a 90-year-old woman reflecting upon her teenage years, like when she turned 20, I think. So it's a story taking place in the 40s. It's a young girl who's gotten kicked out of college, and her parents sent her to live with her aunt in New York City, who owns a theater. And I just remember thinking, I'm so glad I read it in the summer, because it is definitely just a light but serious. Like, I like light books, but I want them to have some weight in them.
Meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I loved the theater scene in it. So it was just a great one. A dark comedy that I really enjoyed that was short is called My Sister, the Serial Killer. It was just a fun read, and it was a quick one.
Okay.
And these are all adult books, too. The fun summer fiction are all adult books. Oh, except one. Okay. A Nearly Normal Family is a great thriller. So if you liked The Silent Patient, I recommend A Nearly Normal Family to you. The R is backwards on the list. I thought that was clever.
It is clever. So,
but it is just a great one. And really, I think I might have enjoyed it more than The Silent Patient. And I enjoyed The Silent Patient a bunch. This is a one.
I think I may have read that one. I'm not sure. I'll have to look back.
It was good.
I'm kind of a book consumer. And so I'm like, sometimes I'll get a book and I'm like starting it. I think I've read this before. It's awfully familiar.
I've done that before too. Brock and I just read The Guest List, which is another slow burn kind of thriller. It all takes place. It's by Lucy Foley. It was up on the radar last year, but we just got to it. It was took place for a wedding. Like, it was people traveled to the wedding, and you hear the multiple perspectives from different characters, the bride.
Okay. I love books like that.
Yeah. And it was good. Uh-huh. So if you like a little bit of twist in your life, that's a great one. All right. A YA read that Lucy got me to read and is still angry at me because I did not put this up on the book wall. Is The Selection series. It is such a light. It is definitely a summer read. So a lot of your teenage girls may have read it, but I enjoyed it too. So some royalty mixed in, which I'm always a fan of.
Love it.
A great little series. I think there's 5 books. I can't remember. But I read 1, 2, and 3 pretty quickly. And then 2 more just fun summer reads is a book called Una Out of Order. So this girl, Una, I think she wakes up on her 20th birthday and she is a different age. And she's born on New Year's. So every New Year's Day from 20 on, she wakes up at a different age and it is not sequential. So she may be 60. Then she may be 22, then she may be 40, then she may be 18, or, you know, like she goes back and forth.
Clever.
Oh, it is clever. And I listened to an interview of the author, and she said she wrote it out of order, which blows my mind.
I know.
But anyway, it was really, really good. And so every year she's waking up and she's trying to, like, who is this man sleeping next to me? Who is this person? You know, like, and so she spends a whole year in that age. And so really she's piecing together her life, trying to figure it out. It was very cool. If you are a fashion lover or historical fiction or just a nonfiction reader, I completely recommend to you a book about Coco Chanel. And this one is written by Gortner. Oh, one or the other. I think it's Gortner. C.W. Gortner. It is an account of Coco Chanel's life. But it's,
what's the title? Is it called Coco Chanel?
Chanel.
Oh, Chanel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed it. Hmm. Okay, let's flip to some kiddos.
Okay.
I just, when I was thinking about this, I was just thinking, if I only had a few opportunities to read books to kids, these would be the ones I recommend. My first one, we just finished at home with my boys and they all loved it. It's called Riding, R-I-D-I-N-G, Freedom. Riding Freedom.
Oh, I know that book. Yes. Oh, so God. Good.
So good. So it involves a horse. That's the riding. And it's a story of a girl, Charlotte, trying to survive back in the days, like back in the days of horses and buggies. Her parents pass away, like when she's three, and she's sent to an orphanage, and this is her story, and it is so good.
It is so good.
Even Brock was like, this is such a good book. And I was like, no, this is why I wanted to read it to you guys. And it's Riding Freedom is written by the lady who wrote Esperanza Rising too, mm-hmm. which is a very famous book. But this one has gone under the radar for so many people and I hate it. Oh, is it Pam Muniz Ryan or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, it is. Pam Muniz Ryan. We had that when you and I were literacy coaches. We actually had that in our book room.
Oh, okay. I bet that's where I got exposed. No, I used it in my fourth grade reading groups.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It's so good. Okay. Another one that I love, love to read to kids is called The Well, W-E-L-L. It's by Mildred B. Taylor. I think that's her. And this is a short book. It's so good, though. It's, I think, back in the 60s in Mississippi, and it focuses on one family. It's a Black family in a very heavily white community. We have a massive drought going on, and the only family that has water is the Black family. Oh, my gosh. There are so many points where you just stop and you say, we'll find out what happens tomorrow.
I know.
And kids are like,
I know.
I did it to my kids in my classroom. I cannot recommend that one enough for you to read. And all of these, I mean, they would be good for kids to read alone, but I think these are ones that you would want to experience with your kids and just have great conversations. And like Riding Freedom and The Well are both like, I read to third graders and fourth graders, but I think you could even go a little lower with them and definitely higher. So
what's interesting about her as an author, Mildred Taylor, is these stories that she's written. She wrote Let the Circle Be Unbroken, The Road to Memphis, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, The Well. I can't remember what else. The Land. I think The Land is actually the first one. It's really stories of her family.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. Yes. Her great something, I don't know, a grandparent was actually the child of who's biracial.
Okay.
His dad was actually white, and his biological father, who must have had some affection for him, left him some land.
Okay.
And so everything's based on this. And then he marries a Black woman, and then they have a family. And I've read almost all of her books. Their family ended up moving up north somewhere. I can't really remember where, but they were from Mississippi, around close to Memphis, like around in there. I don't know. I love those books. I always
read The Land with the boys this summer.
Yes, The Land, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, all excellent books.
Yes, you need to check it out and start reading it to your kids tonight.
Yes. Yes.
And if your kids are still in school, if you've got a week left or 4 days, you could finish The Well, and it's very short, and that would give you some structure to your day.
Yes.
So,
you know what, Laura? I may read that to my boys.
Oh,
taking Lindsay's boys to the beach, and I always take a book to read to them at night or whatever. And I may do that this summer. Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't recommend it enough. Another book that I enjoyed reading with my kids is Masterminds, and it's a dystopian novel. I don't really want to tell you much about it. I just want you to read it.
Masterminds.
It's a group of friends, and there is something unique about them, but they don't know that they have a common bond until later in the book. And this common bond is something very serious and very instrumental to having them want to make a massive change.
Now, is that a series or is there a
sequel? It is a series.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Another book that I've read with kids and with adult kids, aka college kids, is called Book Wanderers. And this is also a series. It's a story of a little girl named Tilly. Her parents are just gone, and we really don't know. Like, the grandparents just don't talk about it. It's just like mom and dad.
No, they're gone.
You know, are just gone. Mm-hmm. Grandparents own a bookstore, and Tilly just starts wandering through books. If you like Anne of Green Gables or Alice in Wonderland, these books are tied into the story.
Okay.
And I mean, like, these college kids, I would walk in the room and they'd say, "When are we going to read Tilly?" Like, they wanted to know it. So
that's awesome.
It is awesome. And it's just a... it's just a beautifully written book. So the book Wanderers, Wanderers. The last not classic book that I want to share it for kids is Other Words for Home. So this book begins in Syria. It's a little girl. Let's see. No, maybe it's a little boy. No, it's a little girl. Her hometown, things become very volatile. Violence is happening. And so they move to America, and it's their story of, you know, like, there's a lot going on, but she's making friends. And it's just a beautifully written chapter book for kids.
Okay. So, Other Words for Home.
Other Words for Home. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. And, you know, I think, like, when you look at these books, most of them are trying to bring kids some perspective and empathy. Mm-hmm. And I just think even E.B. White does that with Charlotte's Web. You know, like, it's so good to read books with kids to teach them these skills that we want them to have as adults. Okay, I'm going to share a few classics.
Yes. That
I think you probably know of, but if you haven't read. Oh, I just wrote down two. Oh, well. Here's two. Where the Red Fern Grows. Read it with your
yes.
kids. I mean, I think we read it last summer, and I think if I brought it out this summer, they would want to read it again. Mm-hmm. So Brock actually read it to them in his old country voice, and it was so good.
That's awesome.
I think my favorite classic to read to kids is Number of the Stars.
Oh, I do too.
By Lois Lowry. So, World War II book, a story of a little girl, Anne Marie, and her family trying to protect their close friends, the Rosens. Mm-hmm. It is just so good. And it's another one of those where you stop and you're like, we'll read more tomorrow. And the kids are just losing their minds for you to read just one more page, just one more page. So it is so good. My Aunt Sarah and Uncle Clint, when I was a little girl, bought this book for me.
Oh, they did.
Yes. And so I read it as a young girl and then read it every year I've taught kids and then read it to my own children. So it's a book I've read a bunch and I enjoy reading it. Oh, I've even read it to college kids. I just love it.
So. I do too. I actually got to meet Lois Lowry.
No way.
Yes. She won the Arkansas Diamond Award one year and we took a group of kids and we got to meet her and... yeah, she was really nice. She was very good with the kids. I think
awesome.
It was when she, it's been forever ago, because, you know, I've been around the world for a long, long time. And I think it was when she wrote The Giver.
Oh.
Or I don't know if it was brand new then, but that year it was the Arkansas Diamond Book award winner. And so we had her in.
Oh, and The Giver is another great classic. And if your kids, because you may have read The Giver, but if they liked The Giver, they may also like a book, The City of Ember.
Oh, that so was a good.
Really good one too.
I love that. That's a series as well.
Oh, I didn't know it was a series. Mm-hmm,
The City of Ember. I can't remember. Oh, there's a sequel to it maybe.
Okay. Well, that was a great one. And that, you know, like, it kind of has the same vibe to it as The Giver did.
Yes.
But if you've not read The Giver, it's a great one too. So
I can't remember, Lauren.
Some favorite picture books that I love. Just authors. Madonna.
The best. Who would have thought? Like, I mean, I grew up listening to Madonna. I always liked her, but I never expected that out of her.
Oh, rich, beautiful books. The English Roses.
Oh,
and
so good.
Mr. Peabody's Apples. Just the most beautiful picture books that you could read to kids and talk about good lessons. And then, of course, Robert Munsch. He wrote Love You Forever, but all his other books are so funny. Stephanie's Ponytail, 50 Below Zero. I love to read those to kids. And this is more like little kids, but even third graders and fourth graders love them.
Yeah, they do.
I had my kids tell me, like, I was like, because I have a fourth grader, a sixth grader, and an eighth grader. And so I was like, okay, we're doing a podcast about books. Tell me your recommendations. And so Call Your Sad, Gordon Corman. Read The Fort this year and loved it, like loved it. And shout out to Sydney Lyerly. She's his teacher, but she read it to them and he really, really enjoyed it. And he also wrote Restart, which a lot of people have read. And if you haven't read that one, talk about a great one to read to your students next year in August and September to set the tone for bullying and good SEL conversations.
Yes.
Social emotional learning. Lawson's favorite is I Survived, which is also another one of Collier's favorite. Those are just fantastic. And they have so many other books are coming out in graphic novel versions.
They are. Yes. So, yes.
And not there. It's Lauren Quartius, who is absolutely amazing author. She takes all these, like The Tornado in Joplin, The Nazi Invasion, all these huge historical things, and puts a kid as the main character where they're trying to survive it. As I'm reading them, I'm like, I know it's going to turn out okay because the title is called I Survived, but I'm so stressed.
But still.
Kids learn so much history. I mean, Luke or Collier, who's my little one, and my husband Brock listened to the Children's Blizzard one, I Survived the Children's Blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, that was amazing. So
I haven't read that one.
Oh, it was a really good one. So if you have little boys to buy for, or little boys that you're around, or I'm not little boys, little kids, because little girls love these too.
They do, Laura, but a lot of times little boys don't want to read as much.
Yes, it is
It gets them started. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Luke, my eighth grader, he read these books like in fourth and fifth grade and still recommends them. All of the Alan Gratz books, which I'm in his room, I'm trying to see. I think I have them downstairs. But he's written so many historical fiction books, and they are just fantastic. And multiple perspectives I think they are mostly always included in his books. So check out Alan Gratz. They're meaty, but he really enjoys those. And Jennifer Nielsen. She's a popular kids author, which is also historical fiction. Oh, you were frozen.
I think when you read books. Okay. Am I good now?
Yes.
I think when you read multiple perspective books to kids, it's a great segue, conversation starter, for how even though we all experience the same thing, we all have a different perspective of it. And I think that's a great way to have a conversation with kids.
Oh, for sure.
Because they don't, that is not intrinsic in them. Mm-mm. And I think that's a good way to teach them that, you know, we were all there, but we all have a different perspective about mm-hmm. how that turned out. So yeah, I think those are great.
Yeah. Luke also, he gave me some white young adult recommendations too. He did say that these have some content in them. So you just do with that what you want. But he really enjoyed two books this year. One is called The Love Hypothesis.
I love that book.
Okay. Well, he loved
so
it.
So good. He did. That's
yes,
awesome.
He did. And then a book called Expelled by James Patterson, the big James Patterson writer. He wrote a YA book, and Luke really pumped it up to me. So
really, James Patterson is so good. He's such mm-hmm. a good author.
I was just scanning Luke's bookshelf since I'm in his room. There is a book called The Marvelers. So if you're a Harry Potter fan and you need to scratch your itch with something else, The Marvelers might do that for you for kids' books. Of course, all the Percy Jackson ones. I'm just scanning. He's reading The Psychology of Money on and off. Which is...
Did his dad get him that one?
No.
That sounds like a Brock Wooldridge book.
He actually bought it, asked for it for Christmas.
Really?
Yes. So there's a book called Kindred that I know he really enjoyed. I'm just going down the aisle, just looking at his stuff. But anyway, I just, and Shallow was another classic book that I recommend to you to read to kids. It's a dog book.
Yes, it's great.
So if your kids have read Where the Red Fern Grows and they loved it, then I think Shallow would be a good one. So, and then just my last recommendation to you are some Bible study or some Christian books to read. One that I will be reading this summer is Untangle Your Emotions by Jenny Allen. It's a new one by her. Her Bible study, Get Out of Your Head, is fantastic. If you are in a position where you're trying to figure out what to do when you're growing up, or like me, you're 43 and you're still trying to figure it all out, or if you're just thinking, you know, there's something more that, you know, I need to be doing. Good grief, I've done this Bible study 3 times and I went at a complete blank of it. It's hardback. It's a 40-day study. It's beautiful. I'm going to Google it really quick. Sorry, listeners. I cannot believe I cannot come up with this because I've recommended it to a million people.
You've recommended it to me.
Yes, I have. Really, all her studies have been great. Nothing to prove. Made for This. Good grief. Made for This. It's a 40 days to living your purpose. So I recommend that. And this semester, I'll give a shout out to my Dull Women's Group. That's what we call ourselves, where we are not dull at all. We have been doing a Jen Wilkins study over 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And it's been interesting, but the approach is what I've loved the most about it. So we have reread and reread and reread the chapters.
Oh, wow.
So if you've never done, which I had never done that, like literally reread the same chapter over and over and over, like 10 times. Mm-hmm. Then that
I love Jen Wilkin.
Oh, I had never done one of her studies before. So that may be something that, you know, with summer, you'll have more time and you might just pick a chapter of the Bible that you'd like to just read and reread. And she would prompt us to, you know, read it at the beginning and just get the context of it. And then we would dig in and circle specific words, you know, like truth. And then you'd realize, oh my goodness, in that chapter, truth was said 12 times. I can't believe it, you know, or things like that.
Well, she has a book that I have at home about how to study the Bible.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from her about how to think about the historical time that was written.
Yes.
And the author and also the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about that one next time, but I think she's really good.
Yeah. I just, our Sunday school class, we've been really talking about things and really, you know, not just taking a verse and reading it for the verse, but put it in the chapter, put it in the book, put it in the Bible,
put it
in the story, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's so good for us to do.
I do too, because the context is important.
And we don't want to misuse it. So.
Right. Yeah.
I just thought of those. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully.
I've got a list over here. I'm on my list.
I could talk about books all day long, but anyway, I shall stop. But just so many great ideas out there, and just I think it's just so good for us to read.
I do too.
It's just a vacation in our mind.
It is. And I need that reprieve sometimes from the real world.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that we always focus on summer reading, but really it would be a great thing for us to try to do all year long because it is a break, you know. And if we can escape into a story, then we're letting go of the grading and all that stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
One thing I want to read this fall because I believe it's a fall book. And some things I can only read in seasons, you know, like really heavy, then I got to read it in the winter. But A Gentleman in Moscow, I've never read it, and I want to read it. Okay. So that's on my fall.
Right. Well, Laura,
later.
Thanks for sharing all those. I've made my list. I hope the readers have, our listeners have made their list.
Yeah. And not only for you, but maybe for some kiddos in your life.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, next week we'll hear from Kim. She'll give us some great ideas to start reading, and then we'll be prepared for summer. You can start making your Libby holds now.
Yeah. Make it now. That's right.
All right. But this is an episode that you can share with everybody. So if you don't care, share it with a fellow reader, and we just want everybody reading. So share and share more.
That's right. Make sure you download this episode so we'll know where you're listening from.
That's right.
And go find us on social media, like us and follow us.
And like
us. And I guess that's all. We hope you'll join us next time.
Much.
So glad you were here. Have a great week.